Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning Lilui Nishmasa and Lezecha Nishmasa, Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashala, Meher Neshama Hav. A continuous aliyah and the merit of the Torah learning that we will share this evening together as a chabura. So we are coming to the end of our past couple months of learning on the topic of Tzadik Viralo and Rasha V'Tovlo. Last time we ended off looking at two excerpts of the Ish Kodesh that were written during the terrible time of Churban Europa. Tonight I said that we would start with the third piece, which is where we are going now. So I'm going to start to screen share with you. It's right here. Okay, here we go. Could you see my screen? Yes, thank you very much. Okay. Here we go. And by now, the war's third winter, okay, we see a change in the tone of the drashos, and that maybe not deliverance would be coming immediately, but there's a new emphasis on total submission to the divine will. Okay. It is indicative of the unblinking honesty of the Eish Kodesh that he makes no attempt to minimize or obscure this transformation. And this teaching, which was delivered on February 28, 1942, Parsha Zachor, February 28, 1942, we read Parsha Zachor, the Shabbos before Purim, and we remember Amalek. Rachmana Letzan, this was given on Parsha Zachor when they didn't need any reminder. Of Zachor Sasher Salecha Amalek, Aizana Bechal Kol Hanecha Shalom Acharecha, Ata Ayef Viagea. They did not need the reminder, because in February of 1942, the program of Amalek to attack the weak ones at the rear, and you were tired and weary, was in full force. Let us look at this teaching. Experience has made it evident to me that although a person must every moment hope for God's salvation, so kaveh al Hashem, chazach v'amitzibecha v'kaveh al Hashem, we don't give up. We hope to God. We fortify ourselves in our hearts, and then we hope to God. Even if a sharp knife is at a person's neck, they should not give up, because I'll say on the Yeshua. A person must hope every moment for God's salvation. Nevertheless, he should not hang all his hopes on an expectation of immediate salvation. So I have my ideal of what life should be, and God has his plan. And Amuna is not Hashem will make everything work out the way I want. Amuna is Hashem has a plan. Rabos machshavos believe ish. Amuna is va'atas Hashem hisakum. There are many thoughts in the hearts of men. There are many plans in a man's calendar of life. But the master design of God, that is what will always be upheld. And therefore, a person should not hang all his hopes on an expectation of immediate salvation. This is because if, God forbid, some time passes and the salvation does not arrive, it can lead to a situation described by the verse in Mishlei, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So a person does not see the Yeshua coming. And your amuna is contingent, not on believing that God has a plan, even though I don't understand it, but the Yeshua will come. And it doesn't come because that's not part of Hashem's plan. Then a person may, Rachman al-Litzan, give up on the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is particularly so when people rely on some assurance or some expected course of natural events which might result in imminent salvation. So a person is waiting for the imminent salvation, for some expected course of natural events, and it doesn't happen. We risk becoming sick from hope deferred. If the hoped for deliverance does not arrive, one's spirits fall, and the person may become even more broken as a result. So, of course, we say, B'nisan nigalu, B'nisan asidin nigael. This is the month of Geula. It is a month that's ripe for redemption. Redemption is absolutely possible. But our belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam is not contingent upon whether Mashiach actually comes this Nisan or not. Because if it doesn't come, Chas V'Shalom, then we give up on God. So if the hope for deliverance does not arrive, one's spirit falls, and the person may become even more broken. For this reason, together with the hopes for speedy deliverance, one must speak the words of Eli HaKohen, it is the Lord, let him do what he sees as good. And Hashem will always do what he sees as good, even if I don't understand it. The entire world is God's. We too do not belong to ourselves, but to God. We have come into this world through God's will. Our continued existence is only through Ratzon Hashem, through His will. And pay close attention to what's coming. And I thought last time we'd get through all pieces. We didn't. But I think that this is a really appropriate way to sort of end off these 2 months of learning and exploring this topic in depth. Our entry into the upper world is also at God's pleasure. Whatever He wills is good. This is in the third winter of the war, in 1942. Whatever He wills is good. We are not permitted to carp at His will. We must pray to God and entreat Him that He bestow upon us that goodness in a way that is beneficent, that is manifest with kindness. But if, God forbid, He wishes us to suffer, then we must accept this too with love, hoping He will not abandon us, but will save us and bring us close to Him. Let's go through that again, okay? So first we have established that if the Yeshua comes or does not come when we expect it, that is not what our Amunah should be contingent upon. Because if it doesn't come according to my plan, when I think it should come, and here I talk about personal Yeshuos, national Yeshuos, world salvation on all levels, and the person may fall into bleak despair. So Amun is Hashem has a plan, and I have many plans, Rabos Machshavos B'Levish, but ultimately, Atzas Hashem Hisakom, like God wants, will be. And I want to focus on this paragraph again specifically because he specifically mentions the topic that we have been learning. The entire world is God's. Malah Ha'aretz Kevodo, it's not me. Everything is filled of the glory of God. This whole world is the glory of God. We too, we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. We have come into this world through God's will. Our continued existence is through His will. Our entry into the upper world is also God's pleasure. So when He calls us after 120 to go into the upper world, that's when He calls us. Whatever He wills is good. We are not permitted to carp, to question, to wonder at His will. We must pray to God, yes. We entreat Him that He bestow upon us this goodness in a way that is beneficent, in a way that is manifest of kindness. But if, God forbid, the Almighty wishes us to suffer, then we must accept this too with love. We hope He will not abandon us, Hester Panim. We hope and we pray that He will save us and bring us close to Him. In other words, when a person encourages himself merely with hopes of deliverance, this is very, very, very powerful and profound, then he has not lightened the burden or diminished the acuity of the sufferings, pain, and anguish. This is a very important sentence. If our only nechama, when we are going through a nisayon, is we're banking on it working out the way I want, and we have amuna, that's not really amuna, that's going to work out the way I want, then not only have I not lightened my burden, not only have I not diminished the pain and the anguish, but if the salvation is delayed, it is difficult for him to endure. My emuna cannot be contingent upon understanding Hashem's plan. My emuna cannot be contingent upon Hashem's plan going according to my plan. Just because I think the Yeshua should come now, maybe that's not what God, whose will is good, might think. And therefore, when a person encourages me, give yourself chizuk. Oh, merely. The only chizuk you give yourself is the deliverance is coming tomorrow. The deliverance is coming tomorrow. The deliverance is coming tomorrow. It's coming tomorrow. It's coming tomorrow. It's coming tomorrow. Then it doesn't come tomorrow. So what just happened with your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam? It will come when Hashem wants it to come. And we daven that it should become speedy. It should come in a speedy fashion. But if I merely console myself and encourage myself with hopes of deliverance, then he has not lightened the burden. He has not diminished the acuity of the sufferings, pain, and anguish. Because if the salvation is delayed, meaning delayed according to my calendar, it is difficult for him to endure. However, if together with the hope for salvation, it doesn't mean give up on salvation. But if, together with the hope for salvation, he inclines his head and he says, it is the Lord, let him do what he sees good. So together with hoping for salvation, you acknowledge Hashem will do whatever he sees is good. Then he alleviates and reduces the bitter feeling. They didn't need to eat matzah, the lechemori. They didn't need to eat mara. They lived matzah and mara. But if together with hope for salvation, yesh tikva la'achariseich, yesh schar lepu'ulateich, if together with salvation, he admits and acknowledges and appreciates and accepts that Hashem will do what he sees as good, then he succeeds and alleviates and reduces the bitter feeling. Then he reduces his suffering, his anguish and his pain. He is able to endure more when he acknowledges once again, whatever he wills is good. Then you're able to endure more, and his hopes are better able to instill within him the spirit of life. We will come to such a sense of yeush if we do not go with this approach. Because if I expect God to work on my calendar for Yeshua, it's not a good idea. Together with hoping for Yeshua, we understand and appreciate and admit and believe that God's plan will always be done. And when a person lives with this attitude, he is able to endure more. And his hopes are better able to instill within him a spirit of life, even if, God forbid, the salvation did not come at the anticipated time. So this reminds me exactly, not when I was preparing or reviewing this piece, but you know what this reminds me exactly of? Chet HaEgel. I didn't think of it till the second. I think that's a perfect example. What happened by Chet HaEgel? The people had a calculation of when Moses should come down from the mountain. They counted. And Aaron says, why do they panic? Because they believe the calendar of Yeshua depends on them and their count. It's going to come. Moshe is coming down right now from the mountain. When the Yeshua, the salvation, does not come exactly when I expect it. So now you're dancing around the golden calf and you found an alternative God because my God didn't stick up to his end of the deal. It doesn't work like that. Hashem has a calendar. Hashem plans. Along with the hope for Yeshua, I must acknowledge that his will is good. And I maintain amuna that it will come in the right time when Hashem wills it. Yes. Teshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avir nesra gzeira. Yes, we evolve ourselves in acts of chesed. And yes, we daven. And yes, we do ma'isim tovim. And yes, we give tzedakah to alleviate any gzeira. But ultimately, the Ribbono Shel Olam's will, which is good, will be done. This past week in Mishpacha, I read a fantastic line. There was a series, a 10-part series. I don't know if anyone saw it. I wasn't really following it. It was Bashar. I wasn't even going to read this final article. I was just skimming them, really. But my daughter said, has been following them. She said, it's the last week. So I looked it over. I don't know if anybody saw on Family First. There was a cereal, diary cereal. Not like the food you eat, like short stories that continue every week. So it was about a couple who had many years of infertility and treatments, and after infertility and treatments, they finally conceived Baruch Shem HaSan. They gave birth to their son, who was born with a significant cleft lip. It was about their journey. When that son was very young, she conceived twin girls, and one of them had an even more severe cleft than the son, along with some developmental disabilities. So you could say maybe someone on the outside says it's not the worst thing in the world, but it's clearly a tremendous sign. And she says, is the kid's condition, this was the last piece this week, so my daughter mentioned it last week, so I said I'm going to look it up. And she writes, is the kid's condition linked to our infertility? Is it a result of the treatments we went through? Is it genetic? Right now, we don't know. We do know that miracles come in many shapes and forms. Ours came as three beautiful children, two of whom were born with clefts, and one of them, the girls, also has other disabilities. But the beauty, the joy, the nisim, the miracles, the blessings are not any less. If anything, the beauty, joy, miracles, and blessings are worth so much more. But you have to hear what she says in the middle of the piece. People expected me to have a holy perspective about our children's conditions from the beginning? I didn't. When we are in pain, when our minds are screaming with questions, and our souls are shaking with fear, we aren't always full of resolve. I still don't understand Hashem's plan. I didn't, and still don't, always appreciate this obstacle. Life is hard, but life is wonderful. I thank Hashem for my children every day. I'm going to repeat that paragraph before I tell you why I'm really reading this to you. It's one of the most brilliant lines I ever heard. I didn't read it yet. I'm going to read that again. I think it's very powerful. I'm very real. I'm very validating. I'm realistic. You could be in pain and say this is an obstacle and it's hard, but you could also say it's wonderful and thank you. People expected me to have a holy perspective about our children's conditions from the beginning. I didn't. When we're in pain, which is something we've been exploring these past 2 months with so many sources, when our minds are screaming with questions and our souls shaking with fear, we aren't always full of resolve. I still don't understand Hashem's plan. I didn't and still don't always appreciate the obstacle. Life is hard, but life is also wonderful. I think that sums up so well what we've been talking about. I thank Hashem for my children every day. Okay, listen to this next sentence. You ask me, it should be made into posters and given out to people and hung up. You know, there's a saying, she doesn't say yet. I personally strongly dislike this saying. That's putting it mildly. Hashem only gives nisyonos to people who can handle them. I hate that saying. I don't think it's nice. I don't think you should ever say it to anyone who's suffering. Listen to what she writes. I don't believe that Hashem gives challenges to people who can handle them. I believe Hashem gives us challenges, and along the way, we grow into the people who can handle them. For me, if you don't like it, you're entitled not to like it. It's brilliant. Is there tzaddik v'ralo in this world? Do people who are b'nei Torah try and follow Torah mitzvos, attend shiurim, be mechazik each other, ask shailos and halacha? We're striving to grow. Do people in this world who are basically good people suffer? Yes. Said Rav Hutner, if you make a tova meitiv on bad news in this world, you made a bracha levatal. You're a fool. From our perspective, there's ra and tov, bad and good. From God's perspective, coming out of the pit of Gehenim, the Ish Kodesh said, everything is good. But that doesn't mean from our perspective everything is good or shall be labeled as good. We do suffer. We are in pain. We do not understand Hashem's plan. There are times when our minds scream with questions and our souls shake with fear. And we are not always full of the chazak v'amitzi becha, resolve. Life is hard, but life is also wonderful. I don't believe that Hashem gives challenges to people who can handle them. I believe that Hashem gives us challenges, and along the way, we grow into the people who can handle them. And He doesn't expect us to do it alone. It's extremely powerful to me. Why does the pasuk say, "Bo el Paro ki ani ichbadati aslibo ve'slav avadav leman shisi osasai ele bekirbo leman tisaper b'osnei bincho ven vincha asasher esalal to be mitzrayim"? First two pasukim of Parshas Bo, Perek Yod of Shemos, story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Bo el Paro, come to Pharaoh, because I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, so that I could put all these signs in his midst. I will make a mockery, and you will tell your children to saper sipur yitzia mitzrayim, and your children's children, of the wonders that I did. Why bo al paro? That's very strange. It should say leich al paro. That's bo al paro. It shouldn't say bo al paro. If I say to someone, can you go to the supermarket and buy me, I don't know, X amount of items for Pesach. So I'm saying, go. That doesn't mean I'm coming with you. You go to the supermarket. I'll stay home. Let me know when you're home. I'll help you unload the car. You go to the supermarket. If I say, come to the supermarket, what does that indicate to the person in my house? I can't do the Pesach shopping by myself, so I'm asking you to come with me to the supermarket. There's a very significant difference, and I say it all the time, that every word in the Torah is very significant and with great intent. Bo, come, says Rav Soloveitchik. Excuse me. It was a personal shlichus with a connection between God and Moshe. The Rav says there's two kinds of shlichus, two kinds of emissaries. One is like a power of attorney. You're incapacitated, a person is incapacitated, and they appoint someone to make decisions for them in their absence. The second type of shlichus, emissary of God, is when there's a relationship and we do something together. You do it and I do it with you. Bo el Paro, Hashem was saying to Moshe, this obviously relates to the Yom Tov that's upon us in a week and a half. Bo el Paro, says the Rav, this wasn't a proxy. This wasn't power of attorney, where God kaviyach chalila saying, I'm incapacitated, you Moshe act on your own. Bo, come with me. We'll walk arm in arm, hand in hand, side by side. You're afraid to go to Paro? You have a speech impediment, you think the people won't believe you, you think Aaron's greater than you, you think you've been away for 60 years, whatever, you can't go. I'm going to come with you. Bo el Paro, I'm going on the shlichus with you. I don't believe Hashem gives challenges to people who can handle them. I believe that He gives us challenges, and along the way, we grow into the people who can handle them. And He doesn't expect it. He doesn't expect us to do it alone. It was interesting to me when I read that piece of the Rav that Bo is made up of two letters. One is Aleph and one is Beis. Two letters, Bo, come, represents a shlichus, a mission between two parties. And not only that, the letters are Aleph and Beis. Aleph is one, because God is one. The whole point of Le'el Tzipur Yetziyah Mitzrayim is to recognize the sovereignty of the Almighty. Rabbeinu Higias Man Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. What did the Talmidim tell the rabbis? Shayu Mesubim Bu Nebrak. A time has come after you told the whole story of Sipur Yetziyah Mitzrayim. The time has come to accept the Achdus of Hashem upon yourself. Rabbeinu Higias Man Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Spend the whole night immersed in recalling the miracles. Now it's time to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So a bow is made up not only of two letters, but two letters represent a partnership between two parties. Aleph is one stands for Hashem, and Beis is you're the second party in the relationship. So I'm saying when you're facing, I mean, know the Torah is a blueprint for life. It's not only talking about Moshe going to Paro. Moshe didn't want to go to Paro. Okay, Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph is when he's a shepherd in the desert and he meets God at the snare. And finally, in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Gedal, Hashem becomes angry at him. He says, enough with the excuses. Perek and a half. I don't know. It's not for me. Shlach Nabi Ad Tishtach. And they lo yaminu li, lo yishmu bekoli. Mi anochi asher eilich lefaro. Kvad peo, kvad lashon. Me'ez daber asav decha. I don't know. A million excuses. Not really a million. That's an exaggeration. Hashem says, I know you're afraid, but bo el paro. I'm with you. Hashem doesn't give nisyonos to people who can handle them. Hashem gives us nisyonos. And along the way, we grow into the people who can handle them. And He doesn't expect us to do it alone. Hold my hand. Bo. One, two. I, God, one, will walk with you, and together we'll be two. And together we'll do the shlichus. Is there bad in this world? Yes. He who denies it is but a fool and a fantast, says the Rav. There is suffering. There are hellish tortures in this world. And it's called Odi Dofeik, which we did already in the beginning of this exploration. From God's vantage point, it's good. This was a level of the highest Tanaim we learned in the essay of the Beis HaLevi. It's not our level. We learned that. Our level is to say at times, Baruch Dayana Emes. I don't understand. This clearly seems to be Tzadik V'ralo. And it's not a Muna to say everything's going to be good in my timeline. In fact, it's a little bit kofus because you think God works for you. And then if it doesn't happen, says the Eish Kodesh, according to your timeline, then not only is your emunah not strengthened, it's weakened. You and I had a deal. You were going to come exactly now, in the 6th hour of this day. What happens if you miscalculate? Vayaram ki boshesh Moshe. Don't read a boshesh, read a bashesh. The 6th hour, according to their calculation, came. So if it doesn't work now, you make an alternative God. You know what? This God, he's not keeping up to his end of the deal. I expected the Yeshua right now. So what happens if Chalila, the Gula, doesn't come this Nisan, even though Chazal tells B'nisan Nigal, B'nisan Asidi Nigal. So if it doesn't come, and my whole Amuna is based on God working according to my plan, that just went out the window. So I said, big Bli Nedar. Remember I said that. I'm going directly back into the Sefer after we finish the last piece of the Eish Kodesh. Because it's Arv Pasach, almost. And I want to share with you a beautiful piece from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam that relates to the topic we've been studying, the Inyan we've been darshaning, as well as it relates to Pasach. So it's Minyan Idioma of this Shir, and it's Minyan Idioma on the Jewish calendar. Okay. Drasho the Doro Exodus. Okay. It's Rabbi Lam's Drashos on the Book of Shmos. What is all this toil for? What are we working for? The bad, the good, the ups, the downs, the pain, the joy, what we can handle, what we can't handle, the nisyonos. You have to keep focus. All focus is our relationship with Hashem, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. Building a sanctuary for God in your own heart. Okay. This drasha was given on January 11th, 1964. It's just amazing they include in this series, Drasha the Darot, the sermons of Rabbi Dr. Lam, Zichrono Levracha, they include the dates. And it's amazing because it's also a window into history. January 11th, 1964. Excuse me. In a remarkable passage in the Talmud, Maseches Eruvin, 54a, we find the Amora Shmuel counseling his younger contemporary, Rabbi Yehuda. And the Amora Shmuel said, Chatov ve'achol, chatov ve'eshti, grab and eat, hurry and drink, da'alma da'azalinan mine, kihulala dami. It's Aramaic. The world we are leaving is like a wedding. Okay, the Amora Shmuel counseled his younger contemporary, Rabbi Yehuda, hurry and eat, hurry and drink. The world we are leaving is like a wedding. One second, I just realized something. I never do this, but I have to tell my husband something important. One second. I'm sorry. It's about one of the kids. Okay, sorry. That's it. Excuse me. Hurry and eat, hurry and drink, for the world we are leaving is like a wedding. What an unusual simile. This world is like a wedding. So there are many different interpretations as to what this means. What did the Gemara mean? According to Rashi and other commentators, this sage advice means enjoy yourself with legitimate pleasures as long as you can, because life is too short. Life is like a chuppah. It's put up and then quickly put away. The wedding party doesn't last forever. But anyone who has made a wedding, and I'm sure that's many of you, Baruch Hashem, you probably can relate to that very strongly. You plan for months and months and months and months. And 5 hours later, it's over. What just happened? That's like life. Is it really next Pesach? Wasn't it just the beginning of coronavirus pandemic? On the one hand, the year went very slowly. On the other hand, I can't believe it's Nisan again. Wow. The wedding party doesn't last forever. Matter of a few hours, all that months of planning, it's over. And therefore, this is how Rashi and others understand this Gemara. Chatov ve'echol, chatov ve'eshti, da'alma da'azlinan mine, kihilula dami. Hurry and eat. Hurry, grab and drink. The world we are leaving is like a wedding. It's going to be here for, you're here for a very short time. The whole thing passes so quickly. There is, of course, much wisdom, says Rabbi Dr. Lam in that remark. Some of us tend to put off enjoying life bounties. We keep on saving for a rainy day that we fail to enjoy today's sunshine. Enjoy your life today. Zeh hayom asah Hashem. We're coming up to Pesach. We're going to say this for Chutzar. It's 8 days. Zeh hayom asah Hashem. Nagil v'nisvich ba. Someone shared a beautiful var with me. I don't remember who, so I can't say it in her name. Zahar Yom, whatever today brings, Zahar Yom Asah Hashem. Also relates to our topic. Whatever today has, this is the day God made. Nagila v'nisbecha bo. You're going to rejoice and exult in it because this day, whatever the day brings, that's what Hashem made. What the Gemara means is what the Torah permits us to is that what the Torah permits us to benefit from ought to be accepted cheerfully and happily. It is a good Jewish doctrine to do so. Eat, drink, this world's like a wedding. In other words, Hashem put us here to get benefit from this world because it's so fleeting. Enjoy it while you can. If you can't enjoy it now, you're not going to enjoy it after. However, says Rabbi Dr. Lam, 1964, there is a Hasidic interpretation of this Talmudic teaching that is somewhat different and that illuminates not only an obscure passage in the Talmud, but an obscure aspect of our passage through life. All of this world is a wedding. What does that mean? So we already saw Rashi with Rabbi Dr. Lam's comments. This is a Hasidic teaching. At a wedding, there is much going on. Food is eaten, drinks are drunk, cigars are smoked, toasts are exchanged. There's dancing, music, camaraderie, there's photography. There's the admiring of floral arrangements. There's a great deal of motion. It's very busy. There's activity. All of it is so enjoyable and exciting. However, it is only meaningful if there is a bride and a groom. It is only meaningful if he says to her, Hare at mikudeshet li. Behold, you are kadosh. You are sanctified. You are set apart. You are designated to me. If there is no hare at, behold, you are. If there is no act of marriage, if there is no bride and no groom, then the rest of the party makes no sense. It is a matter simply of going through grotesque, empty notions. Then the guests have come in vain. The eating is simply gluttony. The camaraderie is irrelevant. The toasting is meaningless. And the dancing is weird. But with Hare At, everything makes sense. We understand why we're here. To celebrate the union between this Chasan and Kala. Behold, you are sanctified, holy, devoted, set aside, Kodesh to me. With the Hare At, everything makes sense. Without it, nothing makes sense. What does that have to do with life? Life is like a wedding. Eat the food while you can. Drink the drink while you can, because this world we are leaving is like a wedding. How is the world like a wedding? So it is, says Rabbi Dr. Lam, with life itself. Life is filled with all kinds of diverse activities of every description. We work, we make money, we spend it, we socialize, we build families, we join groups, we experience joy, and we live through sadness. Does all this make any sense? Do our lives have any meaning? What are we running around for? The answer is kihilula dami. It only makes sense if we understand that this world is like a wedding. If we are conscious throughout all of our daily activities, from the making the money, the spending the money, the socializing, building families, joining groups, from the joy to the sadness. If we are conscious throughout our daily activities of the ultimate purpose, if we are aware of the goal, then that purpose unifies all of our deeds. It gives everything meaning and inspiration. And if we don't recognize that we are here for a purpose, what's the purpose of the wedding? The union of the Chas and Kala. Kadoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani, hare at mikudashat li. If we do not appreciate that we are here for a purpose, then we are merely going through the motions. And life is incoherent. Life is dull. And life is utterly insignificant. It's so beautiful. I almost feel like crying. I'm not joking. And what's the ultimate purpose? It's the same as a wedding. It's a marriage formula. Like the formula the groom says to the bride under the wedding canopy, the chuppah. Hare at mikudeshet li. You're mine. Everyone is here, the food, the drinks, the flower, the band, the photographers, the dancing, because of us. And if there's no us, then nothing makes any sense. You are married Lee to me. And so the Almighty betrothed the nation of Israel. In the words of Hosea, I want to screen share with you. Could you see my screen? Could you see that it says Exodus chapter 6? Yes, okay. In the words of the Navi Hosea, very famous pasuk, psukim, Hashem says to Knesset Israel, "Ve'arastich, ve'arastich li la'olam, ve'erastich li betzedek uve'mishpat, bechesed uve'rachamim, ve'erastich li be'amuna ve'yadata Hashem." I will betroth you to me forever, says God. I will betroth you to me with justice, righteousness, and justice, with kindness, with mercy. I will betroth you to me, li. Harayat Mikudeshet Li, Rabbi Doctor, I'm focusing on the usage of the word Li. I'll betroth you to me with faithfulness, and you will know that I am God. In the words of Hosea, I betroth you to me forever. Ve'erastich li la'olam. I'll betroth you to me forever. The wedding of God and Israel, the intensely close and loyal relationship, finds its fulfillment through Torah and mitzvos. And that's the purpose of life. And sometimes it's joyful, and sometimes it's sad. B'shas chelvasa chelvasa, b'shas avlasa avlasa. It's one of the last washes, the precious parishes we quoted a few weeks ago. But if that purpose, a healthy marriage, you don't just walk out, a healthy marriage, there are exceptions. Your Baruch Hashem should bless us that the Ish and the Isha, Shechina b'neihem. So there are obstacles. My husband doesn't just say, I'm leaving. And she doesn't just say, I'm leaving. But if you know the purpose of why we're here and what we're doing, and if we know we're not doing it alone, bo el paro, it's me and you together, two people in this union. And if that purpose exists for us consciously, then all else we do fits into the picture of a meaningful life. Without it, we have a life that we have a life that's like a wedding party without a chas and kala, and without a bride and groom. It's just a party, not a wedding. It is no exaggeration to say that today especially we stand in great need of this teaching. This was in 1964. Listen what Rabbi Dr. Lam said that Shabbos day. It is no exaggeration to say that especially today, we stand in great need of this teaching. Alma di azalinan mine kihilula dami. The world that we are leaving is like a wedding. Especially today, we stand in great need of this teaching. That life is worth living only if it makes sense. And life only makes sense if there is a purpose. And that purpose is loyalty to God. Come what may. The wedding of our talents and substance and destiny with the will of God is taught in the Torah. We must dedicate all of our talents, all of our substance, and bow our minds and hearts because the destiny that we face is the will of God. What are we doing here? To live Ratzon Hashem. If there's no chas and kala at the wedding, it's not a wedding. But if Chazal say that this world is a wedding, then that means we have to know that the purpose is our union between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. For we moderns have developed, we moderns, 1964, we moderns have developed with unsurpassed excellence the perfection of means, science, the exploration of nature, business, commerce, trade, communication, and transportation are affected with consummate speed. That's my favorite line. It's really, I told you, they're amazing to also read as it's a window into the time. Communication and transportation in 1964 are so effective. Wow, they're so speedy. 1964. We know how to do things like we've never done them before. The trouble is, we don't know why we're doing them. We have an elaborate technocracy, in which we are so intoxicated with means that are efficient. We want everything to be efficient, efficient, fast, now. What would you say to Amazon Prime and Amazon Now? And if your WhatsApp doesn't go through in 1 second, you're wondering what's wrong with the technology. We have forgotten ends that are significant. We want means to be efficient. We have forgotten that the end goal is significant. Never before, 1964, have we been able to go so fast. And yet, never before have we been so unsure of where it is we want to go in such a hurry to get there. Indeed, all the world is a wedding. And in our ever smaller world of the century, so that was in 1964, today the world is in the palm of your hands. The pun is very much intended. We have elaborate caterers, fabulous photographers, the most gifted musicians, and we have neglected to inquire if a wedding is actually taking place. Is Hareya Mikudeshet Li and Ve'erastich Li La'olam to be heard? And if there is no God, no Torah, no mitzvos, then all of our efficiency, all of our wealth, all of our achievements, and all of our activities are like the intoxicated guest at the wedding who dances alone in the darkened hall when the wedding has been called off. This is what Torah means for us. It's not just a religion in the customary sense. It binds all the rest of our existence together into a meaningful whole. Our relationship with the groom, capital G, binds all of our existence together in a meaningful whole, and it makes all the rest of our living worth living. It's a much longer piece. I thought I might be able to go through the whole thing. I'm not going to, but I'm going to read a little bit more. I said it's related to Inyani Diyoma. How so? Let me go back to screen share, actually. How so? The beginning of Perek Vav in the book of Shemos. Oh, we spoke about Bo. We're going back now to Va'era. God appears to Abram, and he says, Amor l'vnei Yisrael, ani Hashem, vehotzeiti etchem, I will take you out from the burden of Egypt, v'hitzalti, and I will save you from the work, v'ga'alti, I will redeem you. The fourth lashon of Geula is v'lakachti eschem li. Notice the word li. Li la'am. And when I teach the Arba Lashonos Geula, which we have here in Parshas Vayera, the four promises of redemption, I always point out that Lakachti is Mamad Har Sinai. The fourth stage, Vehevesi, we're still waiting. The only one that has Li, this isn't my heart, sorry, Dr. Lambs. The only one that has Li is Vilakachti. And Vilakachti corresponds to Matan Torah. Vahotseisi Eschem. Vihitzalti Eschem. Vigaalti Eschem. Vehevesi Eschem. Oh, Matan Torah. Vilakachti Eschem Li. The fourth cup of wine that we drink at the Seder corresponds to I will take you to me. It is this teaching which is implicit in this morning's Sidra. This is a Shabbos drasha. God uses four synonyms in informing Moshe that he will redeem our people from slavery. I just showed them to you. And it is to commemorate these Arba Lashonos Geula that we drink Arba Kosos. On Leil HaSeder, we drink four cups of wine corresponding to the four terms of redemption. The first three refer to physical and spiritual liberation. Vehotzeisi, I will take you out, physical liberation. Vehitzalti, I will save you. Vegaalti, I will redeem you. But the fourth one, Vilakachti eschem li, la'am, is of a different nature. The Zohar refers to this as Shabcha de Geula, Shavach, the Shavach of Geula, Shabcha de Geula. The choicest, the most praiseworthy term is the fourth term. It's the greatest of all. V'lakachti eschem li la'am. I will take you to me as a people. V'hiyisi lachem l'elokim. When you come to me, I will be to you. Isn't that what a chasen kala stands for? The chasen says, I will care for, work for, think about, be with you. And she says, I will do for you. The Kliyakar points out on this pasuk. I never looked it up. By the way, I teach a lot of Kliyakar, but I should look this one up. The Kliyakar points out that the word vilakachti used in the Torah, very nice, anila dodi vidodi li, beautiful. Once again, the li, very nice. The Kliyakar points out that the word lakachti, often used in the Bible, does not only mean taking, okay? Ani lokech at hasefer hazeh, no. Lakicha also means in the marital sense, to take a wife. Hashem is saying, Valkachtam eschem li, I am taking you to me. After saving you, vote Sesi, bringing you out of Egypt, feet salty, wrong order, redeeming you, Vaga'alti, says the money, I will take you, I will marry you. The Torah is the kesuba, and the mitzvos are our acts of love and duty. And so it is over the fourth cup at Leil HaSeder that we recite the halal. And we say, Kos Yeshuos Eso V'Shem Hashem Ekra. Because what is the purpose of Yeshua? The purpose and goal and aim is to call upon God. How do we call upon God? Living a life of Torah. No wonder it is the fourth cup that the reading of Halal HaGadol, the greatest and most beautiful praise at the Seder, is recited over this fourth cup. In every aspect, I skipped a lot. It's really so beautiful. If you could get your hands on it, it's worth reading the whole thing. In every aspect of life, let us remember that lesson, that all of the world is a wedding, and our activities and achievements are meaningful and enduring only if we remember the ultimate purpose, the betrothal of God to Knesset Yisrael. And if you remember that, then all of life has a new perspective and a proper proportion. And the result will be, just like at a wedding, true simcha in your life. For happiness can never be found by looking for it or brooding over it. Happiness is an elusive prey. It does not exist as a separate entity. Happiness is a result of a full and meaningful and purposeful life. And one who has a full, meaningful, and purposeful life is one who remembers that there's a chasen and kala. When all of life is harmonious, then like marriage, there will be simcha. When there is li, the arastich li la'olam, li, la'kach di eschem li, hare mikudasha li. When there is li, then all else in life assumes dignity, peace, and joy. Chatov ve'achol, chatov ve'eshti. Let us drink, let us eat. Enjoy the bounty of God's goodness around us. But never forget, Alma di azlinan mine kihiluda dami. That all the world is a wedding. And everything we go through, everything we experience, everything we are happy through, everything we suffer through, everything that's tov, and everything that's ra, it all has a purpose, as long as we remember what we're doing here. What we're doing here is to be the other half of the couple of Ve'eras Tichli La'olam. I don't believe Hashem gives challenges to people who can handle them. I believe He gives us challenges, and along the way we grow into the people who can handle them. And He doesn't expect us to do it alone. Bo el paro ki ani ichbadati aslibo v'aslev avadav man shisi osasa eile b'kirbo l'man tisaper ba'aznei bincha u'ben bincha. Go tell your children that when the going gets tough, I'm right here. I don't expect them to do it alone. And that's a mesorah we pass on. And that is Leil HaSeder. And that's the fourth cup. Because this whole world is like a wedding. I thank you very much for this chus of these past couple, all the whole years of learning. But these past few months to me have been very impactful, important, validating, clarifying. The Ribbono Shel Olam should continue to give us a siyata d'shmaya to remember what we're doing here. Wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos and Besoros Tovos. Thank you very, very much to all. I'm just going to check the comments, which I see I have not checked before.